Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the greatest event known to world history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what our faith is all about. This is why we go to Mass. This is why we pray every day. This is why we try to live as disciples of Jesus Christ in this world. It's all centered on the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is at the very heart of our faith. It's at the center of all four of the Gospels. It's at the center of all New Testament epistles. It's at the very heart of all of our teaching here in our church, all of our doctrines, our dogmas. If you look at the writings of the saints, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the very heart of their writings or their work. Mind you, the apostles, when they first began to evangelize the world and establish our church in this world, the very first few years, they preached one thing and one thing only. They boldly proclaimed Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Did they talk or teach about Jesus' way of life and his teaching? Yes, but that came later on. Did they preach and talk about Jesus' good works and his miracles? Yes, but that came later on. The very first few years of our early church, the apostles proclaimed one thing and one thing only. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. The reason why is because everything that they thought or held certain in this world, their beliefs, faith, truth, their way of life, was now changed forever because of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to the gospel. It says, at daybreak on the first day of the week, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. At daybreak, on the first day of the week. Those words conjure up the image of the story of creation from Genesis. At daybreak, which means what? Right now, this is a world filled with darkness. Well, at the very beginning of creation, there was nothing but darkness. And God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, now, at daybreak, there is going to be a new dawning. A new light is going to shine into this world, the very beginning of the first week. This light comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a light that this world has never seen before, and yet now it's going to begin to shine in this world. And because of that, there will be a new creation. The world will now change forevermore because of Jesus' resurrection. The story continues. It says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The stone was rolled away from the tomb. Now, this was no ordinary stone. It was a massive, gigantic stone that weighed thousands of pounds. In fact, it took many soldiers to roll the stone in front of the tomb. Therefore, one person could not move it himself. That's why, if you look in John's Gospel for the resurrection story, it says Mary Magdalene and the other women, as they made their way to the tomb, they worried about who would be able to roll the stone away from the tomb so that he could anoint Jesus' body. Well, this massive stone is symbolic of the finality of death. Prior to Jesus' resurrection, death was the end. It was the final thing. There was nothing after death. Just like this great stone represented a barrier to entrance into the tomb, well, death represented a barrier to the resurrection. And yet now this barrier has been removed. The stone has been moved away. Which means what? The great barrier of death no longer is finality for us all. It's gone. Death once gripped us all, and yet now that grip has been broken by Jesus' resurrection. Next in the story, it says, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. Where else in the gospel have we seen or heard someone wearing dazzling garments? Well, it's Jesus Christ in the story of the Transfiguration. Christ climbs Mount Tabor and is miraculously transfigured before his apostles. It says his clothing became dazzling white. Well, it became that way because of the divine illumination from the heavens. Well, now these two angels are divinely illuminated from the light of heaven. Now, they ask these women a very strange question. They say, why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, this is an odd question to ask. Mary Magdalene, as well as these other women, they're in a cemetery. They have gone to visit Jesus Christ, who is dead. We do the same thing ourselves. From time to time, on birthdays or anniversaries, we go to cemeteries. We go and we visit our beloved dead. And that's what these women are doing. But this angel poses a very strange question. But in that question, we have an answer as far as what truly took place. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, Jesus no longer is part of the dead. In fact, Jesus now is part of the living. The angels then begin to tell the women and remind them all that Jesus taught them about his impending death and resurrection. And they began to remember. It says next that the women then ran and they told the 11. Now it's interesting. The 11 apostles, their reaction, it says Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, the others who accompanied them, told the apostles, but their stories seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Peter now represents the clear leader of the apostles, as well as the early church. And why not, since Peter was our very first pope? The story continues. It says, he bent down and saw the burial clothes alone. Now, this is a very small but powerful detail to the story. When he saw the burial clothes alone, now Peter is an eyewitness to the resurrection event. Ever notice, whenever you hear eyewitness accounts or eyewitness stories, whatever it may be, whether to a crime or to a hurricane or tornado, the people will always include very specific details. They'll say, well, you know, he parted his hair on the right, or he had this scar on the left side of his cheek. Those eyewitness accounts verify what they are telling is true. My friends, by noting that these burial clothes were alone in the tomb, it verifies that this truly is an eyewitness account, that this is something true. Now, some people might have suspicions that maybe grave robbers broke into the tomb and stole the body. Well, if that were really true, then why would they unwrap Jesus' body and lay the burial clothes in the tomb and then go off with the body? If they truly broke into the tomb to steal his body, why didn't they just take his whole body, burial clothes and all? It doesn't make any sense. And so, what we can conclude is nobody broke into the tomb. Instead, someone broke out of it. The reason why those burial clothes were alone is because when Jesus rose from the dead, he stripped himself of those clothes. Burial clothes are only for people who are dead. Jesus isn't dead any longer. He's alive. He has no need of those clothes. Jesus busted out or broke out of that tomb because tombs are only for the dead. And Jesus is no longer dead. He is alive. That's why that stone is rolled away. The burial clothes are left in the tomb. What we have to understand is that Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. It wasn't a resuscitation. Jesus' heart didn't just stop beating and then after a period of time began to beat again. Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection, and now he offers that same resurrection to us. And see, this is what Paul is getting at in the second reading, in which he says, "Are you unaware that we who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in a newness of life." See, this is what I was getting at. This is why the apostles preached the resurrection so adamantly in the first few years of our early church. Jesus' resurrection bowled the apostles right over. They were totally astonished with it. Everything that they held true, everything that was once certain in this world, including death itself, was now changed forever. Every way the apostles thought, believed, and lived their lives now had to be rethought in light of Jesus' resurrection. That's why when we gather here today, we too remember the resurrection, and our lives must also be changed according to the resurrection. The way we live our life, the way we act, the way we speak, the way we practice our faith must always be in light of Jesus' resurrection. I'll leave you just one last thought. In the coming weeks ahead, we are going to read stories from the Gospel as well as from the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus appearing to his disciples. It raises the question, why did Jesus appear to just this small band of disciples and not appear to the entire world? Well, it's primarily because Jesus appeared to those people who would believe. And he appeared to those people who would then accept the mission of going out into the world and proclaiming Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The first century church, that was their mission, to boldly proclaim that. And now, almost 2,000 years later, our 21st century Catholic Church must continue that message and that mission of proclaiming that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and now continues to live on in us. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.